Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
It's like, do you say button or button? I say button. Press the button.
Button.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Texas boy, Georgia boy. You know, when people like like actually enunciate the T in words like that, like button, it just sounds ridiculous. Button. Right? Right.
Okay. A nutter. foreigners. They say a nutter. There's no TH. A nutter.
That's very true.
It's very true.
I like that. It feels right to be here today. Lots happening with the announcements from PPA, MLP, releasing details of what 2023 looks like. Application deadline, December 5th for players to input their name to be eligible to be drafted. A lot of controversy kind of surrounding this announcement. A lot of players upset. I'm sure a lot of players happy. What's your take on it, Adam?
It was, man. Do you think we'll ever be able to just like do a podcast every Tuesday or something like that and just kind of have it smooth? I mean, the things are changing so quickly, and we're jumping in for these emergency pods. And, you know, by the time some of these podcasts come out, they're almost irrelevant with how quickly things are changing. So, this was quite a bit of information, and unfortunately a lot of information that just leads to more questions. So we knew that there was a big time crunch, and keeping the same timeline with the draft, and as you mentioned, December 5th deadline, there is a lot going on, and I'm not sure either entity, MLP, PPA, or the APP, UTR, new combination, it really completely has their bearings and their legs underneath them quite yet for these two mergers and these team and tour stops for 2023.
Yeah. And I know a lot of the players are like, with that December 5th deadline, a lot of players are upset at how fast it's happening and how fast they need to make a decision. And I get that, but I also understand that, you know, this merger came together very, very last minute, and the season starts, you know, in less than 2 months, right? So it's like, a lot of this has to happen fast, and a lot of it's going to feel rushed. But I think some of the players' frustrations are that, you know, there's two tour cards, right? So what they've decided to do is go to have a gold tour card, players card, as well as a silver tier tour players card. I don't have the email right in front of me, but the gold card. All right. The gold card, I'll give you what I remember from it. The gold card gets paid effectively 2x MLP prize money earnings, 2x PPA prize money earnings. They get appearance fees at PPAs as well as MLPs. They get player benefits such as rental cars. I think medical was on there, as well as Invisalign. Everybody got a good chuckle at. But they are a big sponsor of the PPA, so no surprise there. And I think so. The issue that I know most players have with this two tour card system is the fact that the silver card says you get 100% of your winnings in MLP, but it's effectively 50%, right? If the gold tier is getting, you know, 2x, so they're getting double the pay. So, you know, let's say I'm in the silver Adam, and you're in the gold, right? And we're on the same team at MLP. And let's say we win it. You're walking, because you're in that gold tier, you're walking away with double the prize money that I am.
Right. Right. And it's described to me that they're paying everyone the same base pay, but PPA is just giving an added bonus to their gold players. So it's not technically written into the situation that you're getting one team is, or one player is getting 100% and one's getting 50%. It's more everyone's getting 100%, but there's a bonus paid out by the PPA for their gold tour members.
Right. Still effectively half though for the silver.
Yeah, I mean, numbers don't lie, Robert.
I know you're a numbers guy, Adam. I mean, percentages and numbers, that's what you do.
Right. And then so also, Rob, in that commitment with the Silver Tour card, you must play a minimum of 5 PPA tournaments. And with the Gold Tour card, you must play a minimum of 20 PPA tournaments. So obviously Gold Tour card is full-time PPA. And a lot of the issues with some players that are having is to have to play that 5 tournaments and also play a slate of APP tournaments, get the appearance fees and kind of, you know, get the points that you need to get into a stipend range. It's going to be too much of a burden and too much in terms of number of tournaments in the year. And I think that makes a lot of sense, Rob.
Yeah. So, I mean, if let's say you're in the silver tier, you're typically, you know, a non-signed PPA player. You have to play 5 PPAs, 6 MLPs, which is 11. And then, you know, how many APPs are you going to be able to play beyond that to actually be able to, yeah, like you mentioned, Adam, to earn enough points to where you're still able to get the stipend on the tour. One thing that I think is attractive to players looking at PPA is that, you know, they, in terms of appearance fees, you're basically getting a guaranteed dollar amount for the year, right? Whereas in the APP, it's based on rolling rankings, or it has been in the past. I believe it's still on a rolling ranking system based on if you're in the stipend or not. And that favors whoever plays the most APPs, because you have the opportunity to generate a lot of points like that. So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I know the APP also had a call yesterday, kind of talking about where they're at and their new partnership with UTR. We'll get into that here in a minute. But any other thoughts, Adam, on MLP PPA? I know it's a big deal. There's been a lot of pushback on the silver tier and players getting half of what the gold players are going to be getting.
Sure. And yeah, that and the requirement, because as you said, points are so important, and there is available 25 PPA tournaments total. They kind of have it tiered out with majors and some different levels. And then there's 20 APP tournaments. And then, you know, not to mention, you know, some random, you know, exhibition stuff, things like that. And then you also have the Beer City Open, Nationals and US Open. As their own separate tournaments. So, yeah, if you're planning on playing a full slate of APPs, you're battling to get into a higher tier, and then you have the 6 MLPs and the 5 PPAs tacked onto that 20 that you want to play to get that volume. That's 31, not to mention, you know, possible those 3 other big individual tournaments and some other stuff that could get squeezed in along the way. So this is a real commitment. We heard a lot about player fatigue and burning out towards the end of this year, and it doesn't really look like with what we've seen so far lined up for 2023, there's going to be any reprieve for that burnout as it's a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, it's a lot of tournaments. And I mean, My argument this year with player burnout, unless you were like, even if you're a PBA contractor, I think the minimum this year was like 6 you got to play 16 PPAs or something like that. APP, there was no minimum. So a lot of the players just did this to themselves, in my opinion, right? Like you see these tournaments on the schedule, you're like, okay, an opportunity to go earn money, to go to work. But it's, you know, when pickleball, pro pickleball is this new, It's hard to put a break on a tournament when you can. That's how you go make money in the sport right now. So, yeah, I understand it. But a lot of the burnout this year, in my opinion, was self-inflicted. Next year, it seems like it's going to be tour-inflicted.
tour-inflicted, right? So, and kind of You know, I hate to use the word vibe, but it's just such a good word. I'm going to keep using it. And it's kind of fun to throw in there. But yeah, the vibe of the MLP PPA meeting was kind of a little more PPA driven than maybe I was thinking. You know, it's yeah. a partnership. Obviously, Brooks Wiley was on there, and I don't believe Ann was able to make the call. But it was kind of a lot of, you know, Connor kind of describing what was going to happen. And there wasn't really, besides for, you know, the format and the name and whatever, there didn't seem to be a lot of, you know, MLP new rules for them, rules coming from their side as yeah. a little back and forth. It seemed a little more lopsided towards the PPA. So I think it's important to know that basically in this moment, I believe PPA has something around 20 or 25% stake in MLP. These two are together. They're not really no. the vibe that I got, separate entities working together. They are a team at this point.
Yeah, it's not MLP's running, PPA's allowing players to play, that kind of thing. It seems very much driven by the PPA at this point and less so by MLP. And it's interesting because MLP's always had the ethos of non-exclusivity and, you know, not like allowing players to have freedom to play anything, which, you know, making a five PPA minimum part of this deal goes against that. But on the other hand, I do understand it from a business perspective of, you know, the PPA MLP partnership and wanting players to play PPA, of course, makes sense. But it does, it is a stark contrast of what MLP has always preached.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. And it's the you mentioned it a little bit at the beginning when we first hit that button, but it's kind of like the PPA squeeze. Seems like they're just always wanting decisions at weird times and putting tight timelines and kind of, I don't know, trying to take advantage or stop the players from getting all the information possible. You know, a couple of those statements that I just made are a little speculative, of course, but it seems like we were just in this situation, or the players, I can't consider my one in this exact moment. At the beginning of the year, it was the same thing. So it was just kind of, yeah, it kind of seemed like they were in a rush to maybe get some people to commit to things without gathering all the information. And that, you know, that seems a little dicey. At the same time, on that APP call, they didn't really give a lot of information, Rob. They have some new people on board. They have some new some players with some new titles. The UTR guy jumped on there and spoke. A new British guy that I can't remember his exact title, but he was very well spoken. But in terms of actual tangible information and numbers, there wasn't a lot given. And I understand that it's been a week for UTR to be paired up with the, the Intersport and the APP guys. So, it's a very quick timeline, so you can't really expect them to have it all figured out. But definitely they weren't willing to commit or give information. And maybe that's a good thing that they're not willing to make promises that they can't keep, or they have to have it all kind of trickle down and see what the situation is before giving us those figures. But it definitely left a little bit to be desired leaving that meeting last night.
Yeah. And they did mention just talking about burnout and number of tournaments, kind of popping back on that train. They did mention a $200,000 bonus pool for players that will play 14 APPs. They have to play 14 APPs, 6 MLPs. So that's 20. And then, you know, as part of the silver or gold, you have to play a minimum of 5 PPAs, right? So that's, you know, to qualify for that bonus pool, you've got to play 25 events, which I bet if we look at player tournament count this year, I wish we had mm-hmm. that stat. I'm sure it's somewhere. I would guess there's maybe 2 or 3 players, maybe a few more, but not a lot that have played that many tournaments in this year. Now, you know, I know it's a bonus pool, right? So it's going to be, you know, and it's split. What they said, it's split evenly amongst whoever qualifies.
Evenly, whoever qualified.
So hey, let's say there were five people that did it this year. I mean, you'd be splitting what, 40K each? That's a little bonus, year-end bonus.
A little tiny year-end bonus. And to be honest, the APP basically said that they had they made this bonus pool when they had a strategic partnership with MLP, and they basically said they just got undercut and that this whole new thing just popped up in the last week or 10 days. And they thought that they were all set with MLP. That's why they made the bonus pool. They're going to continue to honor the bonus pool, even though things have changed. But I thought that was very interesting that they were a little bit blindsided by the merger and how MLP just jumped on board with PPA as well. So another little wrinkle to the story.
I mean, it's interesting. Why, if I'm the APP, why would I, like, for that bonus pool, why would I care if my players play MLP now? Right. It's like, it's, you know, there's no alliance. I mean, PPA is MLP. MLP is PPA. So remove the six MLPs. Let's, you know, call it, you know, so if you remove the MLPs, you remove the PPA. So maybe players don't want to play MLP because we didn't talk about the Premier Tour and the Challenge, or the Premier Division and the Challenger Division. There's going to be two separate divisions in this version of MLP. You'll have 12 teams in Premier, which is kind of the top 24 men, top 24 women. And then you're going to have the Challenger Division, which is the bottom 24 men and women, which... the pay structure or the payouts are very, very different from Premier to Challenger. Very different. Mm-hmm. So if you're in that Challenger tour, it's not like, especially if you're like in that 25 to 30 range, it's not going to be very enticing to play that. Maybe it's enticing for the bottom, like the very bottom 12 players, you know, that 36 to 48 range. But for the other players, you probably have higher earning potential going elsewhere. So it's interesting to see what's happening, but I knew I was going to sidetrack myself talking about the two divisions. What was I talking about, Adam? Something with the APP.
I have no idea.
Thank you. I'm glad.
I'll take credit for that. Yeah, I'll take credit for that.
No, but I'm saying, if, you know, remove the six MLPs, five PPAs for APP, make it, I don't know, 16 APPs instead of 14. And APP did mention that there would be team events with the APP starting in Q2 of 2023, which, you know, April, it's not too far off. So I think one thing the APP needs to do, because a lot of these players that are looking at the silver, gold, PPA, MLP deal are like, you know, if I have a better option, I might go pursue that. But if this is my best option, I'll do it. So, you know, I think there's an opportunity here for the APP to announce team events, to announce, you know, to announce what that pay structure might look like, so players can actually analyze it. And I know, and like on that call, they said it's a little bit down the road, but if I'm APP and UTR in this new partnership, I am trying to figure out as fast as possible how to create a team event, how to make the purse worthwhile to hold on to some of these players. And yeah, like, removing that in the bonus pool, removing that MLP requirement, because I understand you want to be stand up and honor the commitment, even though they are not. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's time to forge your own path. You got to do your thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think that's right. And that's basically what they said in the meeting, is that the earliest that could possibly happen would be Q2. Of 2023, but they didn't really give any figures or anything. So I think that's very important. That maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not sure it has to be even one-to-one, but it's got to be in terms of compensation. It just has to be something and reasonable. And that would really just give those players that are on the cusp a little nudge to go to that APP UTR side, I guess we can call it that now. But yeah, after that APP call, there was a lot of people on the group chat. It was basically a bunch of players and me, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was 40 plus talking about the situations, talking about what should we do. Let's have, you know, a stronger say as a group, whether it's male or female. And it was a very interesting call with an interesting vibe after that APP call amongst the players. So it's exciting, crazy times.
And I wouldn't honestly say the mood and the reaction and the vibe from the players was super positive after the APP UTR call. It was, felt like it left a lot of unanswered questions. And, you know, I think some people were even like, well, you know, they almost did a disservice to themselves and made the PPA look more attractive with this call.
Yeah. Right, Rob. And I think this is a big generalization.
Yeah. No, 100%.
No. Yeah. A big generalization. Oh, but okay. I kind of see the PPA slightly as a, let's just get them on. We'll kind of promise some things here and there and maybe even just make a statement and then figure it out. And I kind of got the vibe from the APP that they weren't really willing to commit to anything that they weren't for sure on before they got together. Yeah. So while that was some part of that was bad for the APP call, I think it kind of fits the narrative of those two entities and what a lot of people think of those two as, one being a little more business driven and one being a little more inclusive and, you know, doing the right thing, which is as general as it can be, obviously, in that spot. But that made a little sense to me with some of the patterns of behavior from the two tours and kind of the vibe of those two meetings that we've had recently.
No, I totally agree too. And it was said repeatedly on the APP UTR call is that, you know, we're playing the long game, and the long game doesn't have to be 3-5 years. It can be, you know, it can be under a year, it can be a year, but they're not, like you said, they're going to be try to be slow and methodical with it, which is good. As an organization, and that's how you should operate, right? Like frantic and rushing stuff and making promises that you can't keep or that might change is not the way to go about it. So I totally agree with that. But I do think at the same time that there is a high level of urgency because there's a December 5th deadline for players to make a decision on, you know, will they commit the next 2 years of their lives to PPA MLP? Because there is a 2-year commitment on those tour cards as well. So, and not only that, but there's also team exclusivity that was marked on there. So if you do team events with MLP, you cannot do team events elsewhere.
Correct. Yes, that is another big factor of it. The team exclusivity is required even from the silver. So not an issue for the tour situation, but for the team, possibly UTR saying they have all the software set up to do it and they're really considering doing it. That would be the perfect example of what you are not allowed to do by doing that as well. So,
but that's also why they need to do something fast, in my opinion. Yeah. Like if you're going to have team events, you got to announce it. You got to make it happen. You got to run the numbers. You got to see what you can do because you are on the verge of losing all the players that would be eligible to play that if they sign up for MLP.
Right. And Rob, maybe this is the wrong time. You can snip me if you need to, but tell me a little bit.
Does it feel right to talk about it?
It does. It does feel right to talk about it. Okay. And I want to talk a little bit about UTR and Duper.
Yeah.
So I believe the background is that Duper, it goes basically off what the UTR algorithm is, and they have several people that used to work for UTR that are now working for Duper. So Duper's definitely the smaller company of the two. UTR very ingrained in the tennis and the club, tennis club scene around the nation. I think they threw something out like 10,000 or something like that. And a lot of those clubs are transitioning to pickleball. And I also hear that UTR has some very legit software and some really good stuff for, you know, not only for the clubs, but also for running tournaments as well. Is this correct?
Yeah, absolutely right. So it's a much easier, simpler interface than pickleball tournaments to run tournaments. And it's why they've grown so fast is, you know, they've got, I don't remember what the number is. It's a silly number of how many tournaments they're running across or how many people are running tournaments on their software across the world on any given month. It's a ridiculous number. Some people might look at UTR as like, okay, well, you're late to the game. How does this make any sense? One, I think pickleball is still so early. You know, it's easy to get lost in the micro, right? Of like all the stuff's happening. It seems like, you know, it's come so far in a year. If we're looking macro picture of pickleball, like it's early days. I mean, this is still so early in the pro landscape where I don't think they're necessarily late at all. I think they actually have a huge advantage in some respects to, like you mentioned, Adam, being in so many different tennis clubs throughout the country, throughout the world, where they already run the UTR software, the Universal Tennis Software, where all they have to do if they want to run pickleball events is click the pickleball button and go through the pickleball interface versus, you know, trying to get onboarded with Duper, which can be a little cumbersome is what I've heard. It makes a lot of sense. They're already in all of these clubs that are transitioning to pickleball. If not now, they will transition to pickleball eventually because the demand is going to be there. So, you know, while Duper is going out and trying to, you know, get clubs on board, like we heard the big Lifetime announcement, Lifetime Fitness uses UTR for tennis. You know, they announced using Duper for pickleball. UTR is in a lot of these facilities throughout the country already. And if all these facilities have to do is go on their UTR interface and click pickleball versus, you know, onboarding a different company with Duper, you know, ease of getting started is much, much simpler through UTR.
I like convenience, Robert.
Yeah, most people do. Path to least resistance.
Mm-hmm. So, very, very interesting stuff. And you're right. There was several mentions of long game, which is good. But there does need to be a little sense of urgency. Maybe not on the whole entire APP UTR package, but at least something, hence maybe a team event or something that they can give the players that's tangible. Because like I said, on that call, there was a lot of players. There was 50 plus, players that had not made a decision yet. So, you know, that's powerful. And yeah, it's crazy times.
Yeah. And we'll see. Like there might be a big contingency of players that don't put their name in for the MLP draft until, you know, I know there's a big push to get rid of that silver tier. So everybody gets paid equally in terms of prize money. Right. So, you know, kind of the comparisons are interesting. It's like, you know, it's similar to you playing a US Open final or what I'm trying to think of different comparisons in sports where, there might be different, you know, you might have a different salary, right? Because you're a better player and you're paid more. But for winning the US Open, one player is not going to get paid double of the other player, you know, if you both win. So it's interesting in terms of, and the way they're making it is like, well, you're getting paid the same, but PPA is going to, you know,
bonus
that in. But PPA and MLP are the same organization. And they fudge that a little bit, right? Because if they just talk to gold contracted players and mention that in negotiations with them, whole different ballgame versus like publicizing it and making it known. You know, if they would have just said in that email that, you know, players get paid the same, and then in these gold contract negotiations with players individually, you can be like, oh, by the way, if you're in this tier, we're gonna match your earnings, you know, for MLP. A little kind of under the table, below the radar. Way less pushback.
Shocking transparency from the PPA. There you go. Look at that.
So yeah, well, probably unintentional, right? because now everybody's pissed.
It just worked out. Yeah, we're just worked out that way.
I
believe they moved up the meeting to Saturday. They were going to have it either today or Tuesday. They moved it up to Saturday, then had the APP meeting, then had, you know, the players that hadn't signed have their own little battle. So this might be the most intense in amount of time information that we've had yet. Which is wild to say.
Saying a lot.
December 5th, I mean, that is creeping real, real hard, and there's still a lot to be done.
Well, look, Adam, this past week was Thanksgiving. This next week, all these players are at either Mesa or Orlando playing APA, Mesa APP. So it's like nobody's really spending time crunching numbers and, like, you know, working on these decisions. They're preparing for this tournament and going to play it. And then once that tournament's done, what's up? What you doing? you know?
Yeah. How many days are in this month? I don't know.
November? 30, I think.
30. So it'll be, okay. So you have until a week from today.
Yeah.
So you have until the following Monday. So, I mean, yeah, there is a lot more going on with the two tournaments, but everyone's going to be chatting as well. And it'll definitely be a hot topic of conversation in between matches. So hopefully everyone can just get as much information they can about both situations and make the right decision for themselves. But it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I'm very much less involved. This is probably going to ripple affect me in some way, shape, or form. But I remember how tough it was when you just got blasted with some information at the beginning of the year. And then a couple of days later, there's a rebuttal. It's even if you're very in the know and you have a lot of outlets you can go to and talk to people and get information, it's still really crazy when it all happens, especially when it kind of springs on you quickly and you have a deadline. So it can be very overwhelming for everyone, these players and all you guys. And I feel for people because it's tough to, wipe out all the gray area and the cloudiness and just get the real facts and make the proper decision.
Yeah. And it makes logistics hard. Like maybe listeners and viewers don't really understand kind of like the behind the scenes logistics of how we kind of get ready for a year as players, but we're setting up our schedules, over a year in advance. And many times when, once we get wind of what the schedules for the tours and leagues will be for the following year, I mean, we're pretty much reaching out to partners, trying to lock that down, which tournaments are we going to play, which tours, which leagues, all that stuff. And, there might be some APP players that we're planning on playing all APP next year that take that gold card, which is, now you have to basically scratch all APP tournaments and partners that you had lined up and now do that for the PPA and find new partners and it's a whole new schedule. So there's a lot of ripples with just stuff happening this late in the game for players. It makes it really, really difficult to schedule, plan, stick to your commitments with partners, just because it's so fluid and so much is changing at the very last minute. I mean, we're talking, it's about to be December and there's so much up in the air for 2023. Like we could fast forward to January and we could have a very different landscape of what's happening. There could be APP UTR, like a new league, a new pro team league. We don't know. It's just wild.
It is kind of rattling. I agree. Having your ducks in a row is important, even for me, someone who, isn't the best scheduler. I remember how important it was when you got everything lined up. Maybe you're going to make a couple practice runs as you travel and practice. And when it's all set up and smooth, I mean, I was considering putting my name in the draft because I'm not 100% sure the commentary is going to work, especially when you have all this business involved. So I was a little worried about it. And I mean, I was going to start my preparation right now, 2 months before the first event. And I didn't even have to deal with partners because I'm not playing. I wasn't going to play the tours. So I was having a lead up. I was going to have a progression to where I wanted to be physically before the tournament. So not to have that is definitely something that is, a lot of these guys are big into routines and they're really into their practice, their drilling, their whatever, their off court stuff. And when things are still unsettled mentally, it can kind of leak over to some of that physical preparation as well.
No, 100%. And it ties into kind of some of the mental hardships and the anxiety that you talked about. Like it's especially when you have to make, pretty big decisions, career decisions in such a short time frame, right? It's like,
it can wear on you during the year when you realize that you might have made the wrong decision. You made that decision in a tight window and then you're seeing something else change. And then you're in, the night before the tournament, you're thinking about it. You just talked to your buddy who had new information. And if you think that doesn't leak over or doesn't affect you a couple percentage points on your performance in the tournament, then you're crazy. Maybe some look like robots, but no real robots out here. So just people playing pickleball and all these things are a factor. Oh, Robert, I wanted to mention one thing as well. So, I'm not a guy that likes to toot my own horn. We've established, right, Rob? But hey,
correct.
Every one of these pods, I mentioned a little something about team coach and GM, and I got a little nibble. I won't be talking about which team or any of the conversations I've had, but I got a little nibble on that team coach GM aspect of the MLP. And so, hey, if you're listening out there, team owners, get at me. Hey. I'm one of the only guys that's retired. Everyone else is still playing. I got a little value in this small window here, Robert. Get at me. Get at me.
Hot commodity.
That's right. Hot.
Well, as I always say, Adam, any team would be lucky to have you, and it's a shame that more than one can't have you. Or can they? One challenger, one premier.
There you go.
Or maybe you're a coach for a new APP UTR team. Or maybe you're a coach for both APP and PPA MLP. Who knows? The options are like, you're in a good spot, Adam. I really like the spot you're in.
Yeah. All right. I can always count on you to just pile on after I toot my own horn.
I'm not playing along. I'm really stoked for you. I think you're well positioned in this business of pickleball. You're a high end content creator and influencer, and I think you're going to change the game, Adam.
Yeah, let's go, Robert, my hype man. I love that. That's good stuff.
I wouldn't say if I didn't believe it.
Hey, Robert, do you have anything else you would like to discuss on this podcast?
We've got
APP, anything else UTR. Feel right?
I mean, let's just talk about UTR for a second. So, I've actually got a good buddy that works there, buddy Chase Hodges. He was the head tennis coach at Georgia Gwinnett for a long time. He was my coach in college. Okay. I was his assistant coach. He was the head coach. I was assistant coach at Georgia State University and Drake University in Iowa. And I lived with him for a little bit. I helped when we were in Iowa, Gabby, she was, I think, one at the time. It would be me, Chase, and Gabby. Gabby's mom, Chase and her, were going through a separation. And so when I lived with Chase, it was me, him, and Gabby, the one-year-old. It was two men and a baby. Great times. But he... it was awesome. We'd go to restaurants and it would just be like us sitting there at IHOP and she's launching pancakes against the wall. And we're just like, don't know how to handle this. Don't know what to do. This baby's out of control, but it was super fun. But anyway, so Chase eventually took a job at Georgia Gwinnett College, in Atlanta, in a IA school, and became the winningest coach in college sports history. Maybe the longest win streak. Like, he won like some silly number of national championships on the men's and women's side of tennis for a long time. Had the longest winning streak in college history in all of sports. But anyway, so left that, got bored, said this was too easy. I need a new challenge, and got hired by Universal Tennis. So he's a VP over at UTR now. Good dude. Been talking to him a little bit about their entry into pickleball. But I think, looking at UTR, like I said, they're already really entrenched into the tennis world and have so many facilities and clubs on board that it's an easy transition for clubs to add pickleball. It'll be interesting to see how their ratings look out of the gate, right? Because they've got their own algorithm. Duper's created their own algorithm. UTR obviously has been around for much longer and probably has it dialed, maybe a little bit more, especially on the tennis side. But we'll see how that transfers over to pickleball. Because, I mean, Adam, you and I will be able to look at kind of their top 50, you know, of their UTR ratings for pickleball, and we'll be able to see how accurate it is or not. And I think that'll be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, no, definitely with the Duper being the younger of the two companies, but having the more of a sample size for pickleball. So is this something that, you know, UTR leapfrogs in a short period of time, or is it kind of more of a longer process to get to that point and then possibly surpass? I'm not sure.
Well, they're in terms of data, they're going to have the same data. I mean, I'm sure. I think.
Okay. Duper
did,
okay. I see.
Duper did
saying.
The same. They went back retro and pulled all the results. You know, I'm sure UTR is doing the same. So they're going to have significant data. It's just going to be a matter of, I think, you know, I don't know how they're doing it. Like, I know Duper combines gender and mixed, then they have a separate singles rating. So we'll see how UTR does it. Cause I'm not sure how they'll be doing the gender versus mixed, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And I mean, they said that they had a crazy amount of kind of email database with
3 million,
not just clubs, but individual people. And I think it was that number, and it was consistent users, or there was some, you know, baseline requirement, you know, not some people that are just popping on there every now and then. So
yeah,
a pretty serious database list. And I know that that's a big deal. I think it's been a big deal for, you know, some of the whatever Pickleball Central, some of the bigger distributors as well. So having that email list and that database, I know it's a big deal, especially, you know, for a rating system. So lots of tools in place. So we're going to have to see moving forward, you know, if those tools turn into product and a great product for the pickleball community, or hopefully they don't just stay tools and you know, don't transition as well as we're hoping. But either way, exciting times.
Yeah, and I would imagine they'll have to create like a branch off, right? Because I don't think they'll want to have a universal tennis representing pickleball always. Maybe to get started in the space, but I think they'll probably branch out to have their own branding for pickleball. Whatever it may be.
Yeah. And none of these partnerships are very long, but UTR, it's been 1 week. I think it's been 2 weeks or a little bit more, maybe like 17 days or something since the MLP vibe. I mean, this is
so crazy, isn't it?
Yes. It's wild. That's the case with the amount of days and preparation that these two entities were able to come up with. So you have to cut them some slack, but at the same time, as we said, it's decision point for a lot of these players, and you got to have you know, some hopes and dreams, but you got to have something a little tangible as well. If you can balance that out, then that's great. But if you can't, it's going to be trouble for somebody.
Yeah, Adam, if you look forward 6 months, how do you see the landscape?
6 months, which is a gosh darn eternity.
It's a very long time in this world.
Yeah, I don't know. And of course,
give me your best guess.
The best guess is I would say that I will say that the players, that some of the players kind of take a little bit of a stand, and either we get that requirement of 5 PPAs taken off, or UTR and APP come up with at least something tangible for team events, even if it's in the second half of 2023. So that's what I would say. I would say one of those things happens. They either drop the five requirements, or UTR comes up with something in the nick of time. APP UTR comes up with something in the nick of time, and it's a little more balanced and still fragmented.
And if they don't drop the 5 PPA requirements from the silver card, what do you see happening? I think some players will still apply and go for it, right? But
yes,
the vibe I get from some of our chats are like people are pretty staunch against it.
Yeah, I know. So,
but to the point where players just wouldn't play.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard to say, because I remember that it was just like I was set, and then you get a little piece of information. Like you get FOMO, you know, you get FOMO. It's like, ooh, they did this, they did that. And then, you know, it's a big vibe of the chats with the players too, is, you know, getting stuff in writing and having something actually tangible, actually written down, actually you can see what's happening, as opposed to, you know, hopes and dreams, you know, sign that thing and then hope they come through on their side of it. So I think that's a big factor as well. And we've heard a lot about that, you know, from the player pool, you know, wanting to have something in place as opposed to it just being verbal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's really seen much in writing yet.
Right. And I think that it was kind of funny at the end of the APP meeting last night, it kind of ended slightly weird, because
I think
the rivals were on the call. So I think that the APP UTR team said something about that the MLP PPA team invited them to be on the call as well. They declined. They didn't think it was right. But then some of the PPA MLP higher ups were actually on the call, the APP call. So it was,
yeah,
not sure exactly what happened, but it was a little bit weird. at the end, and then they kind of suggested to get with us individually and have a back and forth about your specific questions as opposed to the entire group. So it was kind of a funny end to the meeting last night.
Yeah, I know some players still had some questions, and it ended quite abruptly.
It did. Hopefully those things got cleared up individually, and maybe they sent out a personal message saying, get with us tomorrow. It was a weird vibe with, you know, possible rivals on the call. So, it's a shit storm. It is. Let's be clear. That was my first curse of this 45 minutes. So I'm
well done, Adam.
With everything going on to hold it in that long, I'm proud of myself.
Mama's proud too.
Yeah, there you go, Mom. I waited 45 minutes.
What else we got, Adam? Anything else we want to cover? Do we want to cover preview? I don't really care.
I wrote down some light notes, and I'll just say a general statement. It looks pretty fragmented. There's quite a few top APP players playing in Mesa, and the PPA players are playing on Orlando. I was hoping we'd get a little more of a combination to possibly, you know, see some of those more the matchups we want to see, but it looks like it's pretty chalky and pretty standard with the APP players going to Mesa and the PPA players staying in Orlando. So that's kind of sad, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
Which is interesting, because I looked when we last recorded the pod, I saw a lot of the APP players signed up for the Orlando one, and they must have switched over to Mesa. So even a lot of the Florida guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a big deal. That travel cross country is a big deal. So
versus a drive to Orlando. Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yeah. People setting up their stipend and their appearance fee points for next year. It's a big deal, especially if, you know, a couple of people trickle over or possibly sign. That's going to put a nice opportunity for a lot of the APP people, 100%. I'm going to have to revisit some of the, like the chart with the APP payouts and stipends. Yeah. It's been a few weeks of that, and they didn't bring that back up in the meeting, but we obviously have that. So I'm going to have to go back through and check that out and kind of see exactly how the financials line up, especially with the Premier and the Secondary Challenger League and APP, and see how it all lines up. It might not be as drastic. I mean, it was kind of labeled, you know, get it now with the PPA and more of a long game with the APP and UTR. And, you know, I got to see the numbers. Maybe that's not exactly the case when it comes to certain level of players. So,
yeah, no, 100%. I think running the numbers would be really interesting. We should do that.
That would be good. Unfortunately, not going to happen today. But hey, we're doing a pod. We're doing a pod every 48 hours. So what the hell? It's not going to matter much.
See you in a couple days. Yeah.
Well, I mean, something's going to happen this week. Yeah. It almost has to. Even if it's not, you know, the complete major thing that we might get 24 or 48 hours before the deadline. Something's going to pop out in the next couple of days. So we'll be talking about it.
Yeah. And the fun stuff, Adam, is that you're going to be in Hawaii in a couple of weeks, and we'll be able to record a pod in person.
Yes, that's right. Pod in person on the island. Excited for that. It'll be there about 10 days, I think. So a couple with you, and then a couple with hopefully no people around at all, just relaxing, sipping. What do people sip? Mai Tais or pina coladas?
Mai Tais is a big one here.
Okay.
Mai Tais. Hey,
either one sounds good with me. So, Robert, always good jumping on with you, buddy. Hopefully we cleared a couple things up, even though I know we didn't clear up all of it, because that's not possible at this point. So little info for the junkies, and I'm sure we'll see you in a couple days. Be right back on here.
Yeah, if anything big gets released, we'll do an emergency pod, because people like the emergency pod, Adam. I've come to find
emergency
this out.
Emergency pod. We went over our allotted time for the emergency pod, but I think it felt right to do so. So what can you do?
It did. End it. Bye.
Bye. The button is pressed.
The button. I wouldn't call this an emergency bonus podcast. Yes. Yeah. I would. It's an emergency bonus podcast, but it's not, there's no emergency. We just, we've got some light new information that we'd like to share just around everything going on. I know our podcast yesterday didn't get released, but we were recording this next morning. And it's along the lines of continuing the conversation around the tour cards, the silver, the gold, the players that are available for MLP that aren't available for MLP. And a little birdie has told us, Adam, that there's four very, very significant high level players. I would say all within a few of them top 10, a couple of them top five, my opinion, that are included here. You guys can deduct whatever you want, that basically will not, as the tour cards read now, these four will not be able to play MLP. Is that correct?
And that's because of the
team exclusivity. And that's based on, silver and gold team exclusivity, meaning the only pro pickleball team events that you can participate in is MLP. So anything else that might be created in the future that already exists, I don't know if there are other team events that exist. I wonder if the APP US versus the world counts as a team event.
Oh yeah, I remember that on the call. Yeah, US versus the world.
But anyways, regardless, these pretty high profile players will not be able to play MLP as it reads now. If they are accepted into MLP, it would mean that the rules are bending a little bit for certain players, which I don't think all the other players would be super stoked on. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I know there's a big push from quite a few players to remove the silver tier, the silver card, and just and I don't know what the gold, like whether it's just gold for everybody or whether it's gold and then kind of the non-exclusivity and you can still play MLP. I think some of the sticking points for other players are also playing, you know, some don't want to be forced to play five PPA events. And what else was there? There's a couple of other points, but, kind of interesting news where as the tour cards read now that four very high profile players will not be able to play as it reads.
So was there, Robert, I just wanted to say something here, Robert, is that, yep, you know, when we first started this podcast, you know, we were doing it once a week. Maybe it didn't feel right one week. We had a little, you know, we might have a little gap, 2 week gap in between. I think this is our third podcast in the last 4 or 5 days. And why I very much like talking to you, Robert, is turning into a job a little bit with all this information coming out. And that's a little worrisome for me. Let's get back to that. I'm ready for things to settle down and get back to that once a week. Nice vibe, nice vibe. Hour to 90 minutes and talk a lot about a little pickleball. This business stuff is serious, man.
This is new for me too. I'm not going to complain about seeing your face though. I just want to rub your little head, you know, It's just like, just want to rub your top of your head and just say, good job, Adam. You're killing it. You're really doing it.
Remember that rap song, Kiss Me Through the Phone? You can rub,
yeah.
Rub my head through the phone. There you go. Yeah. That was an old school rap song.
But let's cut this whole clip. I'm talking about rubbing your head through the phone. Let's not do this. This is getting weird.
Hey, we got edit.
We got edit capability, but you know, when we submit this and they watch it and listen to it, they're going to be like, we're not cutting that.
We
have no control over this.
So basically what you're saying is there was a little sliver of time around when Vibe was announced that this group of players kind of made a deal when no one else did. So that's why they're held to that team exclusivity. Is that kind of what happened? Is that how I'm understanding it?
I'm not sure why the team exclusivity is the deal breaker necessarily, but yes, mm-hmm. Like a lot of these negotiations were happening pre MLP Columbus, I believe, and pre Vibe even.
Right. So they in their deal, they were playing PPAs and APPs. They had a minimum requirement of both. Huh? Interesting.
Yeah. So I believe that APP and PPA were both aware of kind of the negotiations and happenings. And some in this group signed on to play a pretty decent number of APPs that they like a minimum that they have to play. I think it's over 10. And then they also have to play around 10 or maybe just below PPA events plus Vibe when Vibe existed. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So interesting in terms of creating deals that are not exclusive, you know, with the PPA. It's a little different than what they've kind of, you know, had a hard line on before, which is, you know, full exclusivity. So the fact that they're willing to bend a little bit and let some players play, you know, a significant number of APPs as well as have a deal and contract in place for playing a fair share of PPAs as well as the team stuff is new stuff. That's kind of new developments.
Yeah, I can't remember hearing anything about the PPA and the APP coming together in any way, shape, or form, or making a deal where they're both involved for a minimum amount of tournaments at any time this past year. So that's surprising to me. And
I'm not saying APP and PPA were necessarily talking to each other. And,
right,
and,
right, right.
You know,
but just allowing it.
Yep. So definitely a new thing. And we'll see. I mean, these are players that MLP will for sure want, not necessarily need, but want for sure, for their product. So if, you know, it kind of aligns with all the other players wanting to kind of get rid of the silver tier and get rid of team exclusivity. And one of the other sticking points that I saw was, you know, some people want to move it from 2 year to 1 year in addition, because right now, as it stands, it's a 2 year commitment to your contract with PPA MLP. So, we'll see how it all develops, but I found that to be pretty fascinating kind of news that we discovered and wanted to share that.
Yes. And, I think we talked about it, I don't know, around an hour yesterday. I'm not sure exactly when that podcast will come out, but it sounds like UTR and the Duper, whatever the exact situation is pretty heavily influenced a lot of what's kind of happening and what will happen. So, Duper been around for a little while, UTR new on the scene. You know, I know that Duper is definitely Steve Kuhn's baby, and he's kind of, you know, aligned himself obviously with the PPA, the MLP and the PPA, and PPA having a stake in the MLP. So it seems a little more divided from this, you know, not full amount of information that I have. It seems very divided with PPA and MLP being, you know, back to against the APP and the UTR is what it seems from my perspective, but obviously having some more information in the next week or two will help clarify that. But that's how it stands to me. And that division seems pretty serious. And I just can't imagine them really working together in any way, shape, or form from what I've gathered.
Yeah. And I think this is business and open marketplace at its finest, right? You've got, and what Duper did in their, like, I like what Duper did in their business model in respect to, you basically see what's worked in another industry, take that into a new industry, and it's a proven model, right? So what Duper did in terms of kind of following UTR's lead and what they did in tennis, because they did great. I mean, they revolutionized the rating in tennis, where it's global. And, like, you know, I was, and I know you were too, Adam, a college tennis coach who did recruiting and stuff. And, you know, this was kind of, you know, UTR wasn't super developed by the time I left college tennis, but now it's kind of the gold standard around the world. Like, you know, college coaches look at UTR kind of before anything else. So it's developed into a really respected standard in tennis. And Duper saw that and was like, we can do, they saw how broken the rating system was in pickleball. And they're like, okay, well, let's take this model, which has worked really well, bring a couple of the people that worked at UTR over, and then run with it. And I like that model, because it's, you're removing a lot of the guesswork of, you know, is there a need for this? Can we execute it? I think what might have been overlooked, or maybe not overlooked, but unexpected, is maybe they didn't expect UTR to actually jump in the game themselves. So that's a little bit of the wrinkle in this whole story, is that I love the way Duper went about it and kind of modeled after UTR, but you don't always expect UTR to jump into the pickleball ring, and they have. So now it's just who executes better, which I find all this stuff really fun.
Yeah.
I doubt they do, because they're, you know, now they're, you know, UTR probably coming into the space like, what in the world did we get into? This pickleball world right. is wild. Why is everybody so amped up right now? You know?
Right. Like and there's definitely some cloudy information. It almost kind of seemed a little bit like the UTR people were throwing a little shade at Duper on that call. And
well, so I can't imagine there's great blood between.
Yeah, but you know, there's obviously a very, very reasonable way to go about it. And then there's probably a shady way to go about it. And I have no idea who came over, what time they came over, if it was considered a big deal yeah. or them just going into a new industry and going for it. So I don't really know where the heads of both kind of stand in that regard. We don't have all the information. So I this is all speculation, but it definitely, like you said, there was a need for it, and they jumped on board and they made it happen. And they have obviously a little smaller company, less infrastructure possibly, and software and kind of establishedness, but they have a head start in the pickleball world. And like you said, Rob, it's interesting to see a more established, bigger company with a late start, and then the Duper that everyone's starting to and more comfortable with in the pickleball realm. This is big business.
Yeah, from a business perspective, I'm excited. Like, you know, I know people get excited to watch different pickleball matchups. I'm excited to watch this matchup, to be honest. I mean, Duper's got the alliance with PPA, with Lifetime Fitness and all their pickleball. Like, it's
right.
It's going to be, and UTR has the advantage in terms of being in so many tennis clubs already that are going to be converting to pickleball, and the ease of use of their software, you know. Mm-hmm. So like each company has their own advantages. And it will be really, really fascinating to watch to see how it all plays out.
Correct, Robert. Okay. I like that. Do we have more stuff to talk about? Oh yeah, you did bring up kind of what we talked about with that group of four players. Is a lot of similar to, I don't know, maybe 15 to 25, somewhere in that range of solid. Very good. Some very solid names mixed in there that are kind of hoping for that same thing. It's really the silver card issues with the team exclusivity and the requirement of five PPA tournaments. So even though you talked about that group of elite players, there's also another group of players very much on their level that are having some issues with that silver card as well. And crunch time, baby. That draft, the deadline of the draft, I believe, is next Monday, Robert. So less than a week yeah. away. Stuff, information's got to start flowing out. It just has to. When there's a deadline like this, you know, when we're kind of just waiting for something to come out, we're kind of on pins and needles. We don't really know, but there is a hard and fast deadline here, and the information has to be figured out by that deadline. So it's yeah. got to come. It's got to yeah. come.
I think patience will be rewarded here. You know, there's no reason to rush into anything. And I don't think, based on the conversations I've seen, I don't think any of the players outside of the existing PPA contracted players have really seen anything in writing in terms of offers and stuff like that. We've seen, obviously, the email and the tiers and the tour cards mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But I don't think anybody's actually received offers in writing. So I think, you know, there's some uncertainty and questions around when will that arrive? Because, you know, if the deadline's the 5th and people need to, I guess the deadline is the 5th to apply, right? Not to necessarily.
The 5th to apply, right, right.
Which,
the 15th for the draft. Is that correct?
I'm not sure on the draft date, but you know, anybody can apply, right? I think they said they had 200 applications, and I know lots of people that haven't applied yet. So,
right.
I can only imagine people coming out of the woodwork to just throw their name in the hat. So we'll see. I think I mentioned this in the other episode, but we are all additionally waiting to see if APP and UTR announce any team events. We know that they mentioned they would have them starting as soon as Q2 2023, but with zero details released on, you know, will those just be exhibitions for players expected, like, without pay? Like, you just never know, right? So, like, there's been no details related to compensation for those team events or what it might look like, what the format is, how many there might be. So lots to, you know, and if that doesn't come out before the 5th or whatever it may be, then
that's an issue.
They're going to lose all those players because the players are going to go to where the money is. Like, you can, like, you know, APP promised a lot in terms of like the long game and opportunities, but nothing really tangible in respect to this is what you can make this year by doing X, Y, and Z and being the, you know, being a part of the APP tour and the team events and UTR and all this stuff. So, you know, I think most players are kind of waiting to see like balls in their court, really, in terms of making offers to some players and seeing what these team events might look like. If they're not able to come up with anything that quickly, then, I mean, my gut right now, Adam, just kind of having a pulse on what's happening with players and kind of hearing different opinions and perspectives, is that players don't necessarily want to do the PPA deal, but financially it makes the most sense for them. Is that kind of the take that you've seen?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And APP, they have to announce something. They have to. And
well, they don't have to, Adam. I mean, they don't.
But they have to. And we talked about it yesterday with the bonus episode one, that it doesn't necessarily even have to be one-to-one ratio in terms of compensation, but there has to be some announcement with something tangible that these players can grab onto and kind of lift their spirits and you know, not – the ones that don't want to make that leap over to the PPA. And if they don't make that announcement, I just think that the numbers are going to be heavy, heavy, heavy on the MLP PPA side. So we just have to see. And I remember this last year. It's a really hard spot for the players. I remember last year just so many phone calls and meetings from not only higher up people in the tours, but also amongst the players. And it was just like one call you have with a buddy, you're like, man, maybe I should do this. You have another call, maybe I should do this. You're getting these little pieces of information, and it's a really tough spot to be in. And I think maybe, a factor in all of this, Robert, is a year ago, I think a very few percentage of players had agents. And now I think a much higher percentage of players have agents. So when it comes to stuff like this, having an agent can be a very big asset and kind of, you know, filter. You're not making those big decisions, which obviously are going to have some emotions as a player in your experiences with both tours. But having that agent and that kind of neutral figure, I think, can help with the decisions and kind of, you know, make it more logical for the players who can't help but have some emotion when dealing with these situations.
Yeah. I mean, representation is nice, right? Whether it's an attorney, whether it's an agent, just not, you know, been through this quite a bit with attorneys, whether it was business or whatever, but, just being able to have somebody to rely on that takes that weight off your shoulders and frees up your mental capacity to focus on what you want to do versus like weighing all the different options, which can be super stressful and super taxing and kind of eat up your whole mental capacity is priceless. Right. So, absolutely correct in terms of player. Cause you know, I think, yeah, you're right. This time last year, a lot of the players didn't have representation and it was, and I think, you know, people knew that. So they were like, let's get you to sign this.
Yeah.
And I
want to say this as well, Robert. I think that there's no question that some percentage of players have had some dicey or maybe some slightly not the perfect conversation with the PPA tour, whether that was last year or some of their interactions with the PPA has been a little dicey. Not saying that it hasn't gotten better or it's still exactly the types of conversations they were having a year ago. But I think that's safe to say at this point. And I also think that a lot of players have a lot of faith and they see how passionate Steve Kuhn is with all the MLP stuff, pickleball in general. how great of a job he's done and how much he really does care for the sport. And I'm just wondering with this new merger, how involved Steve is going to be, because I love Steve. I think he's awesome. I think there's a very much a genuineness to him. This is a business, and you know, you have to balance those two things out. But I would like to see moving forward how involved Steve is with MLP, or if he's just a guy kind of going through the motions and the PPA is making all the big decisions in a day-to-day capacity. I think that's a big factor for not just me, for probably a lot of players who have a lot of faith in Steve. And we'll just have to see how involved he is. And I hope it's very, and if it's not, you know, that's a little sad. Not that the, you know, the PPA is going to do a garbage job. I think they'll do completely fine. And I think they've probably learned a lot in the last year or two, but that's a big factor for me. And I don't think there's really any way to know or to kind of quantify that right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, Adam. I think if there's anything, when I think about Steve, you know, there's just one thing that comes to mind in terms of like reliability. Like I always knew that he would have players' best interests first and foremost in his mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can really say that about any, but like, and I know Steve more than the other organizations and leagues and tours, but I don't know if I could say that for anybody else. And yeah, like I said, maybe that's just because I know Steve better than the others, but and that's a big deal. Like earning players' trust is a big deal. And you're right, Adam, when it comes to other organizations, you know, there haven't always been positive interactions with everybody. And, you know, and maybe players often felt like they didn't have their best interest in mind at some times. But I think with Steve, that's always not really been in question. So, yeah, I mean, I hope he's super involved, but I don't think he's going to be.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think you said it perfectly, Rob, is I love Steve, and I still think that he absolutely does have the player's best interest in mind. But if he's not in a position to influence it, it's just in his brain. It's not actually happening if he's not in that position of power. And once again, we love facts and information on this podcast, Robert, and this is very much just pieces of information. We do not have the full picture of any of this. We're just kind of speculating right now. So mm-hmm. I want to keep that completely clear, as that is very important to us to make statements matter of fact with information, and just, you know, clear it up as speculation and just kind of the talking heads going through some of the options when we don't have all the information. And that's very much the situation we're in right now.
Yeah, I think that's most talking heads in sports, right? Just speculating on everything.
I just think of what's his name, Stephen A. Smith, somebody like that. That dude is.
But he says it with passion. He says it.
Yeah,
with passion.
Certainly. So we kind of were, before we fired up and turned that button on, we're kind of like, what are we going to talk about? And sure enough, 30 minutes into it, we got plenty to talk about, because there's just so much going on.
Yeah. So I think takeaways for this one is, you know, that we can call them the big four, they essentially need team exclusivity removed from the tour cards to be able to play mm-hmm. MLP. We'll see what happens if MLP bends, if they change it for everybody. I mean, I think if they make an allowance for those four, they have to make an allowance for everybody. So we shall see. We've got that. And then, yeah, exciting to see. I know it's not exciting probably for Duper or for UTR, but I'm excited to watch kind of how it all transpires and to see what happens. And I wouldn't expect UTR to have a big splash or anything. I think, you know, I could just kind of hearing from them on that APP call, it sounds like they're kind of start dabbling, dipping their toe in the water, then kind of slowly building without needing to feel like they're, you know, making huge waves right out of the gate. So I wouldn't expect any major announcements or anything, but who knows? I mean, pickleball is a rapidly changing landscape. And as we've seen, Adam, stuff changes on a dime, and we might be doing another emergency podcast tomorrow morning.
I hope not.
I've talked to enough.
I love this. I love this. It feels right podcast, but not tomorrow.
But tomorrow can happen. Oh, Mesa.
Yeah, flying to Mesa. That's exciting for you. Back on the court. Who are you? Oh, you're playing with Rob Cassidy.
Slightly exciting. Yeah. Playing
the
with
Robs.
Cassidy.
The Robs.
You know, we made a lot of good runs last year. I haven't been playing very much pickleball, but that's okay, Adam, because you know what? When you're an elite professional athlete and you have elite foot speed and elite hand speed and baby soft hands, you know, you can just pick it up and go.
You meant to say downy soft hands.
No, you're downy soft. I'm baby soft.
Okay, you're baby soft. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, it's just like riding a bike for an elite professional athlete, Robert. So
correct.
Who knows? Maybe so,
just pop in.
Yeah, I don't. I might just pop in, play a couple turnies. You know, it's like riding a bike. Easy game.
So Cassidy on the men's side, and I have Lena on the mixed side, which will be fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we've played a fair amount together, and obviously Fives teammate for MLP. Rest in peace. Not MLP, the Fives teammate. Lena's fine, but you know, like the
Lithuanian goddess. There you go. Amazon goddess. Lithuanian Amazon goddess.
I think Amazon has a negative connotation. Let's not do that one. Let's do Lithuanian.
Well, okay, fair enough. All right. I was gonna say something and you talked too long.
I love how it's
can't
my
remember.
Fault.
God, it is your fault. It is. Yeah, well, no,
not because you had 27 IPAs last night. It's my fault.
No, I was drinking vodka and water with lime juice. That's what I was drinking. And
you're watching that figure. Show me that belly.
Well, Corinne's on a little group text with a couple pregnant ladies, and they asked to see. They were showing each other's bellies, and the ladies on the group text wanted to see mine as well. That I'm pregnant with Corinne, and I'm just being a good supportive partner here.
That's great.
Yeah, I had 6 pieces of pizza yesterday, and nice. I had a big taco salad and half a bag of tortilla chips. So I'm on my way to pregnancy, and you're welcome, Prof. I'm a supportive partner.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they call you Adam Carr.
Adam Carr, and I always say, not the worst thing to be. Let's go. All right, Robert. We're look at this. We're keeping it under 30 minutes. This
boom.
Is next level stuff.
Bang,
we're
bang,
done.
Boom.
Oh yeah,
bye
and
bye.
We're gonna go. Hey, we're gonna keep going on.
Hit me
with some guests. I enjoyed the Leia episode. I've been talking a little bit with Matt Wright, Anna Bright, and James Ignatowicz. So we're gonna sprinkle in some of these guests. I know you guys love it. We love it too. It feels right.
The gavel.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.